Welcome to the First Pres Sermon Podcast, where each week we dive into Scripture, wrestle with truth, and discover how faith intersects our lives. God's Word meets us where we are, challenging, shaping, and calling us into something greater. No matter where you are on your journey, you belong here, and we're praying that this sermon might help you take a next step in faith towards Jesus. Hey, let's dive into today's message together.
Belong. How do I belong here? How do I enter this community? We know step one is find your pattern for worship. Step two is find your people. Find your people to grow with. From a steady pattern of worship that sets the rhythm of your week, every rhythm needs a harmony. We have great music in this church. We're moved by beautiful music. We make beauty for the glory of God in our praise band and our choir and orchestra on both sides of the house and throughout. There are songs, but you know, there's another layer of songs. There's another layer of music. It's the music of love and community. It's laughter. It's tears. It's a pause for prayer. It's when someone asks, "How are you doing?" And then they wait to get the real answer. And they hear about the beginnings of chemotherapy, the hope for a future surgery, the joy of a college acceptance letter or a newfound baby and pictures to share. And you hear the rhythm, the music of Christian community. Find your people to grow with. You were never meant to follow Christ in isolation. As I've said before, faith is not like a solo hike up Pike's Peak. It's more like a rope team linked in by grace. Psalm 133 says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So whether you've just unpacked your boxes in Colorado Springs or you've been watching the sunset over the Front Range for decades, I can tell you this. Your life in Christ was not meant to be lived alone, and you can find your people here. What does it take? That kind of love and community, it doesn't happen by accident. It starts when someone, maybe you, decides to show up and connect. And as we keep growing, we start to learn and live faith with others. So let's make it simple. At 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, Sunday communities gather around coffee and open Bibles and honest conversation and questions, and there's a Sunday community for you where you would fit. Every week we have life groups gathering all around our city, from Black Forest to Fort Carson, from Briargate to Old Colorado City. We've got life groups gathering together. People who know one another by name, who pray for one another meaningfully, who trust one another enough to apply Scripture to their lives, and who are living the Christian life together. That's how we grow. Not alone, but together. Find your people to grow. Go to firstprescause.org/belong. Explore Sunday communities. Explore life groups. And take a chance to jump in, to step in. And I can tell you this, when you do, the mountains will still come. But you won't be climbing them alone. Find your people to grow with. Take that breath of courage. And take a chance. And step in and belong. Amen. You going to do that?
Yes.
All right. Sounds pretty good. I don't know about that guy. Did you hear where I said, if you have a newfound baby? Did you catch that? I don't know why I said that. Friends, if you have found a baby, anyway, you know what I was getting at. We're going to belong. We're going to belong. And we are, it's good to be together to worship the Lord. You know, when we gather in Jesus' name, we worship God. He changes our lives. Things change about us. And he's got plans for you in gathering this hour to give him glory. I'm really glad that you're here. And this is a quick three-part series. We're in 1 Thessalonians. So turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to pick up at verse 8. And we're actually going to go through chapter 2, verse 6. So as we open the scriptures, let's open our hearts before the Lord in prayer. God, you have prepared your holy word for us. From time immemorial, when you inspired it to be put down on pages by your Holy Spirit and carried it through history, you had
Among all the others, you had us in mind, that we would hear your word, that we would hear your voice, that we would be drawn to you. And so we pray that that would happen. Send your Holy Spirit and help us to hear your voice. And hearing your voice, help us to believe and to trust and to live. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1 at 8. The Lord's message rang out from you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without result. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Find your people. Belong. Find your people. Find your people to grow with. Christianity is not a lone wolf endeavor. It's not a solo sport. A lone wolf doesn't eat. You know that? Why? Because wolves hunt in packs. If they're going to eat, they've got to work together. They've got to hunt. So wolves hunt in packs, lions. There's other animals that do this, like even like dolphins, you know, sweet little dolphins. Watch them hunt. Whales. And it's cool to watch them do this, right? Have you ever watched on the nature shows, like how they all do their thing, like how the lions are, like how are they communicating with one another? They got little walkie-talkies or something. And they're working together to isolate some little animal, and or you watch these dolphins work together to make this pod of fish, and then cuts, you know, a fish out of the pod. And it's amazing how they do all this, and it's fun to watch. It's exciting to watch if you can tolerate the ending. Because the ending is always gruesome, isn't it? I'll give you a hint. Do not root for the little baby seal. It's not going to happen. Sorry. But if you don't work together, you don't eat. And it's amazing that God has built that into the very DNA of these creatures. Like you could raise a dolphin in a fish tank in SeaWorld, chuck it into the ocean. Pretty soon it's going to start doing this. It's just, it's built in. God has wired them up to work together, to be together, to not go it alone. How about us? Why is it so hard for us? We know that we need to be together. We know that we hate to be alone. We know that God has wired us up for community. But we, unlike, you know, jumping into the water and swimming into it, we resist it. We just, something in us that resists it. I would rather be a rugged individual. I would rather handle it myself. I would rather take care of it of my own initiative than to join in with you. Why is it like that for us? It's so hard for us to belong. You know, we've got these little phones in our pockets. We're learning so many things about these phones, aren't we? And one of the things we're learning is, you know what that little device is you've got? That is a little loneliness maker. That's what that thing is. It majors in creating loneliness. You disappear into that screen, you know, and an hour later, 2 hours later, you put that thing down and you think there's something in the back of your head that was sort of tricking you, like, I'm connected, I'm connected, I'm connected. No, you're not. You put that thing down, you feel alone, don't you? Little loneliness makers. We want to help you belong. One of the gifts of church is that God brings us together to belong. We want to help you belong, not in a fake way, not in a false way, but in a real way, that you can have real community, authentic community, that you can be together, bound together in the Christian life to belong. We don't want to just have this sort of fake connection, a screen connection. We want to be together. So three simple steps. We're trying to make it easy. You know why? Because this is a big church. This is a big church. We know that. I've had people say to me, Tim, your church is bigger than the town I grew up in. Is that true for anybody in the house? This is bigger than the town you grew up in. Like, how do I find my way around? How do I know all these people? We want to help you do it. So we've made three steps. One, find your pattern. Find your pattern for worship. That means pick a worship service and stick to it. Commit to it. You say, I'm going to put this on my calendar. Here I am, 11 o'clock on Sunday. It's the first thing on my calendar. It's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to give that hour to the Lord, and then we'll see about the rest of the week. Find your pattern for worship. And now today we want to talk about finding your people. Find your people to grow with. Find your people to grow with, because we learn in rows, but we grow in circles. So find your people, your team. See, we need a team. We need team. Pastors have got so many illustrations for this. Like the redwoods in California. I know when Pastor Jennifer was here, I've heard her talk about the redwoods in California. The redwoods in California, what, they grow like 100 feet in the air. Has anybody seen the redwoods in California? I've never been, but they grow 100 feet in the air. And do you know how deep the roots are? They're only like 6 feet deep. Think, what in the world? This thing's going 100 feet in the air. The roots are only going 6 feet deep. Like, that's going to blow over. The slightest wind is going to toss that thing. And of course, it would blow over if it was standing alone. But it's not standing alone. They're standing what? Together. We need a team. Or think about football. All right? We're all thinking about football, right? Now imagine that you've been selected. You're going to be a linebacker for the Denver Broncos. Congratulations. Sarah, congratulations. You're going to be a linebacker for the Denver Broncos, okay? Are you ready for this? You got it? You got it? You're set. Because here's what's going to happen. you've got an appointment now. If I'm a linebacker for the Denver Broncos, there's stuff on my calendar. One of the things that's on my calendar is this guy. His name is Saquon Barkley. And look, what a lovely guy to have in your calendar. I mean, look at that smile. You're like, we're going to have a great time together, right? When are we going to meet? We're going to meet on October 5th at around 11 o'clock, you know? And the way that we're going to meet is that Saquon Barkley is going to be doing this, right at my face, as fast as he can, 240 pounds, 6'3", and he's going to be barreling down the field. And it's going to be your job, Sarah. This is going to be your job. You ready? It's going to be your job to throw your body in front of that about 12, maybe 18 times, and stop it. How do you feel?
I'm not ready.
I'm not sure. I'm not ready, she says. Amen. I'm not either. Now, if that's your job, you know what you want. What you want, at a minimum, you want a team, don't you? I'm immediately start to think about who is on my team. How can I build a team? Because if I'm going to do this, if this is going to be my job, I'm telling you, I mean, honestly, if that were my job, if it was my job, I'd be looking for a different job. You know, indeed.com. But if I had to do it, I'd want to know I had a team. I'd want to know I wasn't alone. Amen? I'd want to build my team. And sometimes, church, sometimes you've got time. Sometimes you've got something on your calendar, like October 5th. I'm going to have to do this. I've got this surgery that's coming. I'm going to have my other knee done. I'm going to retire in the spring. This chemo's going to start. And I can call. I can say, hey, team, I need you. I need you praying for me. I need you backing me up. I need you in the game with me. This is going to be rough, right? But you know what happens more often than not? You don't get that time. I mean, like a lightning crack. And you're in the storm. And in that moment, where's your team? Ecclesiastes says this. In Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Where's your team? Find your people. We want to help you find your people. The church in Thessalonica was a model. That's why we wanted to study this in this series, because Paul and Silas and Timothy, by the way, did you notice it's a team that wrote this letter? We call it a Pauline epistle, but all three of them wrote the letter together. Paul and Timothy and Silas, they say in verse 7, and so you became a what? A model. You became a model. And that means we're going to look to you and we're going to try to be like you. We're going to live into what you're doing. We want to see what you're doing and learn, and we want to live into that as much as we can. So what do we learn from them? Well, we learn from them that they were faithful to gather together. That's the first thing. Even though they had persecution, they had opposition, even though it was going to cost them something, they were going to maybe get ostracized or they were going to get kind of in trouble in that time for gathering together. Nope, we're going to gather together. They kept gathering together. And as they gathered together, they not only learned and received the gospel, but they started to belong to one another and to the Lord. What we learn later, we'll talk about this, is they not only got the gospel in them, but they began sharing their very lives as well. They gathered together. They found their pattern for worship. I'm not letting that go. I've got my pattern for worship. I'm going to give glory to God. And I don't care what the world says about it. I'm going to come and I'm going to give glory to God. I've got my pattern. And then in that, they started to grow together. They belong to one another, share their lives with one another. What do we know about them? We know they received the message of the gospel with joy. Verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. That means that when they heard about Jesus, they believed. When they heard about what Jesus did on the cross for their sins, they believed in that, they trusted in that, and then something happened in their life. An eternal life was born in them. And then they became something. Did you catch it? Paul and Silas and Timothy says, you became imitators of us. Imitators of us. Who do you imitate? You know what that word means? That word is about discipleship. It means you've met the gospel, you've met Jesus, you've come into the life of faith, but now God is going to start transforming your life. Who are you imitating? That's discipleship. You see, if you're a student, you just want to learn the information from the instructor. The instructor has things to teach you. You want to learn those things and go off from them and handle life on your own. But if you're a disciple, that's different. If you're a disciple, then you've got a master in front of you. And you don't want to just learn from the master. You want to become the master. I want to be as like you as I can be. I want to imitate you, the way you see the world, the way you respond in crisis, the way that you the way you act, the way you get up and walk. I mean, I want to be like you. Where are you growing in discipleship of Jesus? Where are you learning to imitate the Lord? They became imitators. Verse 8 is where we pick up. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. What? Their life together. Their faith, their life together, imitating Christ and growing as disciples, it was ringing out like a bell. The very things they did, the choices they made, their life together was a witness to the realities of Christ. Where are you growing in your ability to be a messenger of the realities of Christ? Where is your life changing to where your life is ringing like a bell that Jesus is real? Where do we grow? And then what happens? Watch this. Verse 9. They also were learning. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. What you see here, church, what you see here is the development of what we call a world view. A world view. Why? Because first, the first thing that happened to them is they turned from idols, to worship the true and living God. Now, when you're holding on to something, when you're gripping on to something, when you've got your hands, like Pastor Dave said, we want to pray with our hands open, when everything in our lives open before the Lord, but sometimes you grab something and you hold on to it and you don't even want to show it to the Lord or to anybody else because you believe in it, you need it more than you need Jesus. When you hold on to something, anything, even a good thing, more tightly, more desperately than you hold on to Jesus, you've got an idol in your life. And the only way to start to break that is for outside information to come. You need to learn something. You need insight. You need knowledge. You need something to penetrate what has now become kind of like a 3-foot wall of concrete that needs to be broken through for you to understand I'm holding on to the wrong thing. This isn't going to get me home. This isn't Jesus. I need to drop this, hold on to him. And so they're learning. They're learning to turn from idols and to trust in and serve the living God. What else are they learning? They're learning to put their hope in the promises of God, not in the promises of the world. Look what happens next. Look again at verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. You see, that's a worldview. We've all got lenses through which we see the world. We've got glasses, spectacles, and we process everything that we see and experience through these lenses, this viewfinder. And what we need is to change, to have those lenses adjusted so that we're no longer looking at the world as the world presents itself or as we want the world to be, but we're looking at the world through God's eyes. A godly worldview. And what's happening to them, the Thessalonians, is that they are transformed. And now their story is part of this story that's waiting for Jesus. I'm not waiting for everything to go right in Thessalonica. I'm not waiting for everything to go right in my business or my family. What I'm waiting for Jesus, because Jesus is on his way back for me. Amen? That changes your whole perspective. You're forming a new worldview. You need help with that. What you need is instructors that you can trust. And that's what we talk about next. We need instructors we can trust. Instructors that are not trying to please the crowd, but will stay faithful to God and to his word. For the appeal we make, verse 3 of chapter 2, does not spring from an error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as though as approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. If you've got an instructor that wants to be popular, if you've got an instructor that just wants the applause of society today, you need faithful instructors who are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. What do you need? You need faithful teachers, faithful instructors. Belong. Find your people. Find your people to grow along with. We don't want you to be a lone wolf in this church. Lone wolves don't eat. We want you to be feeding and growing. We want you nurtured. We want you to belong. We want to help you do it. We've got a saying around here, one of our values is keep growing. And we say underneath that, learn to grow. Learn to grow. That means two things. One, it means learn to grow. We believe in learning. We believe in instruction. There's information you need. There's things, there's insights, there's knowledge. You need to get deeper in the word. You need to know more about Christian theology and history and ethics and how to understand the world from a Christian worldview. You need instruction. And we want to help you with that instruction. You need to learn to grow. In fact, it's my conviction that the movements of your heart toward Jesus will not go further than the knowledge that you have. And if you're not learning, you're not going to grow. If you're not learning, you're going to be stunted and you're going to be stuck. And you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get pulled off course. You need to learn. You need to find ways. Where are you learning? You need to find ways to learn. Learn to grow. But also learn to grow. Learn to grow. You know, we get stuck where we are. Adults are described as cement, all mixed up and set for life, right? You get stuck where we are. And pretty soon you just think, I think I know everything I need to know. You know? I mean, I think I know more than you. We just get in this posture of like, I don't need to learn anything from you. I don't need to learn. Why would I go into a room and learn anything from you? I mean, here I am, God's gift to Presbyterianism, you know? You've just been waiting for me to come along. That's the way I see it. We get in this posture of thinking we know it all. And if that doesn't ring true, you know what's happening to us is this. Again, you know that little phone in your hand? It's your exobrain. It's your outdoor brain. You've got an indoor brain, and you've got an outdoor brain. And because you've got that thing in your hands, here's what's happening to you. You believe that you have access to all that you need to know in life, and that you're never going to get caught without knowing. And so even if I don't know it, you know, I can just Google it. If I don't know it, I can ask ChatGPT. And what could possibly go wrong with that? And so what you're doing is you've got this confidence. And what that does to you is it makes you look at people differently. Say, so these people around me, I don't need to learn anything from them. I've got it. I don't need to learn anything from you. I know if there's something I need to know, I've got it. And so we walk into a room a little bit more proud, a little bit know-it-all, a little bit certain that I don't have anything to learn from you. What if we walked into a room with curiosity? What if we walked into a room saying, I wonder why God put you in my life? I wonder what I can learn from you. I wonder what you've seen that I haven't seen, or that you've experienced that I haven't experienced. I wonder why God put us together right now and what we're going to learn. Walk in humbly, not as someone who's jumping in there ready to talk, but as someone who's jumping in there ready to what? To listen. Learn to grow, you see? We need both of these to grow. Learn to grow. We have great teachers here. We have great instructors here. We're trying to make this series as practical, as sort of tangible as we possibly can. We're trying to help you understand it's feasible for you to get into one of these groups. We have teachers that teach our adult Sunday communities, kind of our Sunday school time. And we've got all kinds of different groups like this. We've got 14 of them. Some of them are for the retired set. Some are for young adults, young parents, older parents. We've got them all kinds. And you can explore them. It's over now. You know, I don't think it's still going on now, but we had open house today. And then Wednesday at the All Church Picnic, you can come and meet some of these teachers and say, what's it like in your group? Tell me a little bit more about it, because I'm just a little curious. I don't know if I'm going to go or not, you know. Put them on the line. Okay. Because we want you to know that this is possible for you. Go to firstprescause.org/belong. This is a new website for us. It's awesome. And it's really going to help you to navigate what are these options that we've got. We've got all kinds of different groups. Some of them are pretty big. Pathfinders. Is anybody in here in Pathfinders? It's over 100 people. Yeah, Bruce. But they'll help you. They'll help you to figure out, you know, who to know. That's our biggest one. Basecamp is sometimes like 50, 60, 70 people, but they'll help you to know people in that room. Most of these groups are 20 or 30 people. It only takes once or twice before you know the others in the room, you see. And then we start to know each other. If you're younger than sixth grade, you need to be on the third floor in kids' bin. If you're in middle school or you're in senior high, you need to run through traffic to the student center. No, wait a minute. Wait for the stoplight and go to the student center, Reese. You got me? Because this whole place is made for you. And each of these rooms were made for you to meet people. And if Sunday doesn't work for you, we've got men's Bible studies Tuesdays and Thursdays. We've got a women's Bible study called Daughters of the King, taught by one of our elders, Cappy Stewart. It's a fantastic study. And there's a big group of women, and they break into small groups. We've got all kinds of offerings for you to get involved, for you to jump in. These are spaces created for you to meet people, to know and be known. But you know what? I hope you take one more step. Because there's one more step we need to take. I don't want to jump the gun on the next message, but I want to show you this verse, verse 8. And you see, the authors of the letter, they left with this like the last word was, but we could have exercised our authority. Did you catch that? But they said, we didn't exercise our authority. Here's what we did instead. Verse 8, instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, read this part with me, but our lives as well. See, it's not just about knowing stuff. It's about living the Christian life together, sharing our lives. Where are you learning and living the Christian faith with others? These adult Sunday communities, they're good. They're better than just being anonymous in a big body of worshipers. Because after a couple weeks, you'll know some people. But you know where that really happens? That kind of intimacy? A mother nursing her child? You know where that kind of closeness is? It happens in life groups. We've got life groups in this church. We have about 380 people who are in life groups. And we need to double that. Life groups are where you're in a group of about 10 or 12 people and you're committed to one another. And you know one another enough that you know each other by name. You don't have to think, who is that again? You pray for one another meaningfully, not just sort of surface prayers, but you're really praying for the real things. You're willing to share it. You're willing to be vulnerable. You're praying for one another meaningfully. You trust one another enough that you can speak scripture into each other's lives without the threat of judgment or thinking, I know you're for me when you speak the word of God into my life. And you're living out the Christian life together. Those four things, that's a life group. Ina is sitting out at a high top out here. Ina Meyer from our discipleship team. She wants to talk to you just about life groups. Maybe you're going to start one. Maybe you're going to jump into one. Maybe you're going to split one in half. Make room for more. We need to get into these circles where we know one another. We need to grow together. Find your team. Find your people. Belong. This has been if I can make a personal note, this has been a momentous week for me and my family. Last weekend, my son Jack was married. Woo! You know, find your person, find your people. And I stood in front of my son Jack and his wife. I have to get used to that. And I shared this same passage, Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one. Because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. What do you prefer? You prefer alone? Prefer running it alone? But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. You been there? Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. What do you like? You like alone? Or do you want to risk together? You want to commit to together? A cord of, and what does it say? Three strands. It's not quickly. You say, what? What's the three? It was one and one, one and one, two, one and one, two, one and one, two. Now there's three. Who's the third? It's Christ. Jesus is involved in Christian community. This isn't just an exercise of people deciding to sort of glom onto each other and say, we're gonna round up people of similar ideas and we're gonna defend ourselves and we're gonna overcome and we're just gonna be this. That's not what this is. This is Christian community. Jesus Christ is invested. He has brought you here and he has wrapped you around the others. He is the central coil and he has wrapped himself and you around those around you. This is Christian community. This isn't a two-strand exercise. This is a three-strand exercise, and it's Jesus who brought us together. And so we ask Jesus, why did you bring him into my life? Why did you bring her into my life? Why? What do you want to teach me through this person? Because Christ is invested in this Christian community, and it's wonderful to see how God builds it. My son Jack, he met his wife because of our young adult community here. His wife was part of our young adult community and part of our our first Prez Fellows community. Like if we had not said yes to First Prez Fellows all those years ago, we would not have this young adult community. My son Jack would not have met his wife. He'd be living in my basement, all this stuff, right? Right? It's amazing how God binds us together in Christian community and helps us to find our people, to find our person, to find the people that we're going to live life together with. It's beautiful. It's awesome. And then yesterday, back to my family, yesterday we dropped off my son Peter off at college, Taylor University. So today, day two without mom and dad. And he's out there among strangers, finding his people. Learn to find your people, how God is binding you together. Belong. Find your pattern. Find your pattern for worship. Belong. Find your people to grow with. You're not here alone. You're not in it alone. There's some people around you that God is introducing you to. Open yourself up to them. Build your team before the storm comes. Build your team. Find your people to belong with, to live life with. It's what Jesus did. He called these disciples towards him. And he said, look, I'm going to call you something. I'm not going to call you disciples. I'm not going to call you servants. I'm not going to call you students. He called them to him and he said, I'm going to name you something right now. I'm going to call you my friends. John 15, Jesus said this. In John 15, 12, my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I'm going to name you something. I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. That's Jesus. He didn't stay far off. He came near. That's Jesus. Jesus was willing to be estranged. He was put out. He was put out of the city. He was extracted from all of his relationships and he was pinned to the cross and there he died to pay for our sins. Jesus was estranged so that you could belong. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. There's so much more that he has for you than running a lone wolf faith, trying to make it on your own. Belong, belong. Find your pattern, find your people, risk it, jump in. Jesus, thank you for binding us together. Thank you for grabbing a hold of us and calling us and pulling us so close to your heart that after we're done just staring into the beauty of your face, we look to our right and our left and see that you've built a community. Lord, help us to find our people, to find where we belong. That this church could ring out like a bell, like the church of all those years ago, that we could ring out, that our life together would be a witness that you have done it, that you are great, that your love is greater. Lord, help us to find our people as we step forward and follow you and belong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hearing God's word is just the beginning. What connected with you? What challenged you today? Maybe it's surrendering something, stepping into community, or simply trusting him more deeply. Whatever it is, don't leave it for later. Act on it today. We're praying that this message moves you closer to Jesus. And we'd love to walk with you in that journey and answer any questions you've got. Connect with us by visiting firstprezcos.org. Hey, if today's message encouraged you, take a moment and subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Check in next week, and we'll continue to grow in our faith together. See you next time.